welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David concludes the series on experiencing God as he takes a look at God being everywhere. Let's listen.
We have reached the final week of our series about experiencing God. And for our last week, I want to introduce you to someone new. You might be familiar, you might not. His name was Johannes Kepler. And Kepler was a scientist who was really one of the central figures in the scientific revolution in the 16th and 17th centuries. For example, he discovered three of the planetary laws of motion. I'm not going to name what they were. I'm sure you know them already. You can look them up if you don't. But he was a big deal in the scientific revolution. What I find most interesting about Kepler, though, was the reason why he became a scientist at all. And it was because of his faith. Yes, his faith led him to become a scientist and become then such a successful scientist at that. Because in particular, Kepler looked around at the world and saw God in everything. Yes, he looked at the world and saw this interconnected, divinely inspired world that was designed by God, and as science helped him discover how that all worked and how the world was all put together, he felt like he was simply discovering more and more about God. He had a wonderful quote that I want to share with you. He said, "Science is simply thinking God's thoughts after him." I really like that way of thinking about science, where science is simply discovering what God has already done, how God has created the world. It's discovering the ways that God made this beautiful world that we get to live in. Yes, science is simply thinking God's thoughts after him. So Kepler was able to see God in everything, from looking up at the expanse of the sky to studying the smallest leaf on the ground. In everything, he saw God. Well, this is the reason I'm bringing Kepler up today, is because as we conclude our series on experiencing God, we can learn something from that idea. In fact, we're going to have a central statement that we come back to time and time again for our sermon today, and the statement is everything is spiritual. And you can see the inspiration that came from Kepler, right? He saw God in everything. He recognized that God was in all creation. And so our statement that we're going to study that was kind of derived from his idea is that, yeah, everything you see, everything you experience, everything in the world, everything is spiritual. We're going to conclude our series on experiencing God by studying what that sort of statement means. And I hope this has been a helpful series for you. Really, I hope you've enjoyed it. But more than that, I hope through this series and through the studies of the scriptures that we have chosen each week, that you have been able to experience God in a really real and authentic way, maybe a different way each week, because that was the whole goal of this series. But to conclude, this whole time together, we really need to understand that everything is spiritual. Now, here's what I mean by that. Too often, we create a false separation between what we call spiritual things and what we call more normal things. We've got our spiritual life, your inner life, and then you've got your normal life, everything else. I'll give you a couple of examples. You might say, okay, going shopping, well, that's a normal experience. That's part of my normal life. Whereas going to church, well, that's spiritual, right? That feels spiritual. Or you could say having coffee with a friend. That's a normal thing. But praying before a meal, well, that's more of a spiritual thing. You could say watching football on a Sunday. That's a normal thing. And yes, I do plan to be rooting for our new QB, Teddy Bridgewater, this afternoon. But yeah, watching football, that's just a part of normal life. Whereas giving an offering at church, well, that's more of a spiritual thing. I believe that we've created this separation between what we consider secular and what we consider sacred, and it's a false separation. It's not real. Why? Because everything is spiritual. There's no such thing as some things being spiritual and some things being normal. No, God's presence is just as real at Walmart as it is in church. God's presence doesn't change from one place to the other. What changes is your perception of God's presence, your awareness of God, and really your approach to seeking God in one place or the other. God can guide your conversations that you're having with a friend over coffee just as well as God can guide your personal prayers that you have when you're sitting before a meal or before you go to bed at night. God can work on your character just as easily during an NFL game as God can prompt you to be generous when you're at church or somewhere else. Okay, maybe it's a little bit harder during an NFL game, particularly if they're losing, but still, God can use that time. That too is a spiritual experience. God is in everything, and everything is at work for God. We simply need to recognize that God is at work. So why do we do this? Why do we separate the world in this artificial way, seeing some things as spiritual and some things as normal? Because the danger in seeing the world like this is that it creates this perception that there's a spiritual self and a normal self. And you can then become believing that you can maybe be a spiritual person at certain times, like when you go to church, then you're putting on your spiritual self, but then it's that self that then you can take off when you go live the rest of your life. Then you're more of a normal person living your normal life. We begin to think of spirituality like a jacket or an accessory that you can take on and off depending on the circumstance or what you happen to be doing that day. But you are a spiritual being all of the time. This is how God created you. Everything is spiritual. So how can we reclaim this concept? Well, in order to study that and to reclaim what it means that everything is spiritual, we're going to look at one of Paul's letters. And he wrote it to the Colossians. And in this particular section of the letter, in chapter 1, starting verse 15, Paul begins to look at the work of Christ, the work of Jesus. And what Paul is trying to say is that literally everything in the world is dependent on Christ. There is nothing in existence, nothing in the world that falls outside of the presence of God or outside the need for God. There are no spiritual things and normal things. Everything is God's. So let's explore how Paul says that in 1 Colossians, or in Colossians chapter 1. He begins in verse 15 saying this: "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Okay, so the Son is Jesus. That's a title for Jesus. What Paul is saying then is that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. In Paul's time, and in our time as well, there may be times where you have wondered, well, what is God like? I can't see God, so how do I really know God? How do I know God's character and what God is like? And Paul has said, if you've had those times in your life where you've wondered what God is like, simply look at Jesus. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. Yes, Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is God come to earth to make his dwelling among us. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So if you wonder ever what God is like, just look at what Jesus taught and how Jesus lived, and you will see what God is like. That's how Paul begins this exploration of Jesus. Jesus is the visible image of an invisible creator. But he goes on. In verse 16, Paul says, "For in him," meaning in Christ, in Jesus, "all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Okay, typical Paul. Paul packs in a lot into one statement, right? So we need to break it down a little bit to see if we can see all the pieces that Paul is putting together here in this verse. Here's the way that I would summarize what Paul just said. All things have been created in Christ, through Christ, and for Christ. Now, you can see that I highlighted all things there, because we're going to start there by wondering, what does Paul mean by all things? Well, by all things, Paul literally means all things. You didn't see that coming, did you? No, but Paul literally says everything. Everything that you can see, everything that you can experience, all things are made through Christ and for Christ and in Christ. And then he begins to list some of the specifics of what would be included in all things. Paul says things in heaven and on earth. That encompasses just about everything, doesn't it? I mean, what could possibly exist that did not exist either in heaven or on earth? It's like Paul is saying both the spiritual and the earthly, all things have been made through Christ. And then Paul goes on, he says, "And all things visible and invisible." Yes, everything that you can see, but also all the things you can't see. So the things you can see, it includes the physical, it includes the earth, people, nature, all the things that I can see, but also includes the spiritual, the subtle, the things that I often don't notice, but are still real. And then Paul says all things also includes thrones and powers and rulers and authorities, basically all the things in the world that we give some sense of authority to, that we think are in charge in some way. Those are often or also included in all things, whatever we give power to. Are you beginning to see how expansive Paul's definition of all things really is? Literally everything has been created in Christ and through Christ and for Christ. Okay, so I think you've got that part now. You've got the all things. So let's move on to our central statement again, but highlighting a different part of it. We summarize Paul's statement to say all things have been created in Christ. We're going to look at that. Through Christ and for Christ. Let's take a look at what Paul means by those specific statements for a second. We'll start with in Christ. What does Paul mean by all things have been made in Christ? Well, in a later letter, in the letter of 1 Corinthians, Paul says that whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Yes, the old has passed away and the new has come. What Paul is saying is that Christ is still in the work, the ongoing work of creating things. But Jesus is not creating new worlds anymore. No, Jesus is creating new people. People like me and you who can live in Christ. We can now live with the understanding that Christ dwells in us and we dwell in Christ. Yes, you can live your life now not separate from God, but in God, in Christ. And if you lived that way, you would live in the same way that all the rest of the world is made, which is not separate from God, but in God. And not only that, but Paul says, and all things have been made through Christ as well. So not only are they in Christ, do they have their inherent physical presence in God, but also it's been through God. That nothing was made, nothing exists that were made outside of God's intention or God's belief of what this world can be. Yes, things were made through Christ as well. And Paul also says, and then everything, all things have been made for Christ. I find that statement to be pretty profound. I mean, that's a big statement. He means that all of this, everything, has been made for God. That includes the creation, the heavens, the beauty of the world, the chirping of the birds, the laughter of a child, the love that two people share together, the sunrise and sunset, all of it has been made for Christ. And God has chosen to share it with us as a gift, which is a pretty incredible thing for God to do. But notice that all of this, it wasn't made for you or for me. It was made for Christ. And Christ then shares the gift of this world, the gift of creation, with us. How would it change your perspective if you began to consider that everything you did, every minute you spent, every dollar you spent, every smile you gave, literally everything you did for Christ? How would that change your perception, your attitude, or how you approached life? Or as one pastor put it, Pastor Brian says, Christ is the goal towards which all creation is shaped. I'll say it again. Everything is spiritual. There is nothing in existence that falls outside the presence or realm of God. So to pretend that some things are spiritual and some things are normal, I mean, what that does is it begins to have us live a divided life, where internally we live a divided life, where we think that God is a part of some things and not a part of other things. But God is a part of all things. And to encompass this and approach what Paul is saying here is to begin living into that reality, to recognize that God is in all things and we are a part of that. Because when you head on in that direction, then you begin to live a more authentic self, not a divided self, but a whole self, because you recognize that everything is spiritual. Okay, that's a lot, right? That's a lot. That's a big statement already to tackle, that everything is spiritual and that Christ has been a part of making everything. But can we dig just a little bit deeper? Is that all right with you? Can we go just a little bit further? Because Paul just keeps on trucking. And so let's look at verses 17 and 18. In verse 17, Paul begins by saying, he, meaning Jesus, he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, meaning he was the first to be resurrected, but not the last, so that in everything, Christ might have the supremacy. Gosh, I mean, there's so much packed in that statement, right? We, again, can only begin to skim the surface of what Paul is saying here. So I encourage you, why don't you make this your devotional this week? Spend some time every day going to Colossians chapter 1, start in verse 15 and read through verse 20, and begin to ask yourself, how does this change my perception of Jesus? And what does that mean for who Christ is in my life? Make that your devotional this week. I think you'll love it. But we can highlight a couple of aspects of what Paul just said here. The first thing I want to highlight is that all things hold together in Christ. So not only was everything made through Christ, but all things are sustained by Christ. I want you to picture you walking in the mall. Yeah, I know. But times have passed. Who goes to the mall anymore? But just imagine 6 months ago, you were walking in the mall. What a joyous time. And in the mall, you noticed a family. And the family seemed to be just walking chaos. Maybe they had a lot of young kids, and the kids were being kids, running around, being all rowdy. Or maybe they had a lot of teenagers, and the teenagers were just doing the teenager thing. And you looked at the parents, and you just felt for them, although you were also glad you weren't in their place. But you were looking at them, and particularly the mom stood out to you. And you realized that the mom had a way of corralling everybody and focusing all the energy of that chaotic family into the direction that she needed it to go. And you looked at her and you thought to yourself, wow, she is the one who's holding that whole family together. When you say that sort of statement, what you're saying is that really it's because of the stability of the mother that the whole thing stays together. Otherwise, it would fall apart. Yeah, she's the glue that holds the family together. Well, in a similar way, that's what Paul is trying to say here when he looks around at the world. And he sees the world that he lives in, and he says, Christ is holding this whole thing together. Yeah, it might seem chaotic at times. It might seem straight up disastrous at times. But Christ is the one who is sustaining all things. Yeah, Christ is the glue that's holding this world together. To be sustained by something, right? That word, to sustain, it reminds me of looking at an old barn and seeing a roof that looks like it's going to collapse in on itself, but has this big beam that's holding up the whole roof. And you'd say, oh, that beam is sustaining that roof. It's sustaining the weight. It's sustaining the pressure. And it's holding everything up. Christ sustains this world. And you are a part of that. You too are sustained by Christ, which means that when your world feels like it's a bit chaotic or a bit like it's falling apart, remember that all things hold together in Christ. And your family is included in that, and you are included in that. And then to highlight just one more part, I know there's a lot in these verses, but to highlight one more part about the way that Paul concludes this time together. Paul says, and then in everything, Christ may have supremacy. That's how he ends this section. What's it mean to have supremacy or to be supreme over something? Well, what it means is that you're the greatest in status, right? You are preeminent. You are supreme. And so Paul looks at the world and says, Christ is that ultimate authority. Christ has all the supremacy in this world. What has Paul said so far about Jesus? It's been a lot, right? Paul has made so many statements about Jesus, but here's my translation to summarize everything that Paul has said so far. Literally everything in the world and outside of the world was made in Christ and through Christ and for Christ, and the whole universe is simply held together by Christ. Yes, Christ is the supreme being over all of creation. Or to put it more simply, everything is spiritual. So knowing what you know about what Paul says in this letter of the Colossians, is there a difference between the spiritual and the secular? Between the sacred and the normal? You say no, right? No, why? Because everything is spiritual. Christ is in all things. All things are sustained and hold together in Jesus. There is not even one tiny particle of dust that was not made for God. Did you know that there's no word for spiritual in the Hebrew Bible? You know, if you looked in Hebrew and you looked at the Old Testament, you could not find the word spiritual. It does not exist. Why? Because they looked at the world and recognized that everything was spiritual. They didn't need a separate word for it. They just called it life. God was a part of life. There wasn't spiritual life and normal life. There was just life. And so they did not even have a term spiritual. They recognized God in everything. I wonder if we can begin to view the world in this way as well. If every conversation you have, every interaction you have, every thought that you have, can we begin to recognize and experience God in everything? That really is the thrust of this whole series, isn't it? In the 17th and 18th centuries, a popular idea began to emerge about God. It was called deism. Maybe you've heard it before. The idea of deism was that there was a supreme being, a God, who created the universe, but then God just left it to its own devices, and that God is now absent from the world. Deists would say that's why there's so much pain and hurt in the world, is because God's not physically present in the world anymore. No, God has just kind of abandoned it. They came up with a term, the watchmaker God, where, like, if you made a watch and then you wound it up and then you just let it go and it can tick down on its own, they said that's kind of how God made the universe. God designed it, God wound it up, and then just let it be. And now it's just kind of winding down. Now, most of us would say, oh, I don't think of God that way. Now, I don't believe in that kind of deist approach because I believe that God is active in the world and that God is active in my world. But if we're being honest, practically speaking, how often do we treat God like that? I mean, how often do we treat God as absent in our world unless we really need something, right? Unless we get sick and then we go to God, or unless we have a specific prayer we want answered and then we go to God, we act almost like God's on call and that we can go to God when we really truly need God. I hope you see, based off of the reading in Colossians and really this whole series, a different approach to experiencing God. It's to not go to God just when you need something, but to recognize God in everything, because God is in everything. Every breath you take is taken because God is sustaining you and sustaining this world. Yes, this passage just encourages us to approach God in and through all that we do. And so I would encourage you, based on what we've studied today and based on what we've read so far in this series, to begin tearing down that artificial wall or division between the spiritual and the normal, and to recognize God in everything. I'm going to conclude this time together and really this whole series with a bit of a sending prayer. It's a prayer for you as you begin to do the best you can in your daily lives to encompass what we just studied today. It's a prayer that was written in the 15th century by a Carmelite nun. Her name was Teresa of Avila. And here's what she says. So take this as a prayer of sending for you this week. She said, "Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing upset you. Everything changes, and God alone is unchanging. With patience, all things are possible. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone is enough."
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.